welcome to the Beyond Biotech podcast number 92. I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the weekly podcast from LeBiotech. This week we're covering the challenges of clinical trials and how big data and data analysis can help in a conversation with Jen Lee,
president and founder of FESI,
a global provider of patient-centric data analysis.
All right, so to get things started, I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about the company.
Yeah, FESI is a clinical data science company. We use data to help pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies to answer their questions and solve their problems, eventually supporting them to bring innovative medicine to patients in need. We have a technology platform called Trials Accelerator. At the core of that Trial Accelerator is a global and also contextualized database with data collected from 108 million patients. So that is the core of our competitive advantage.
Is that a global database?
It's a global, it's a contextualized, which means we know who collected those data, when they collect those data, where they collect those data, according to what kind of design to collect those data.
I wonder if you could maybe give me some statistics related to the success of the different phases of clinical trials.
Yeah, I think that's there are different numbers being published in different places, but the picture, it's not pretty, we all know. So at the end, there are less than 10% of those getting into human phases eventually becomes medicine we can use on patients, which if you're looking at a spread, the termination or attrition rate, the large chunk of them happen between phase one and phase two, that's probably more than 50%. Then 30% of them will not be able to go through the phase two. And then another 25% also were lost in the phase three. We are not actually seeing any improving in terms of that. But we are hoping that with the progressing of those biomarkers, the specificity of the things we're going into the treatment, that kind of rate hopefully can improve, particularly in cancer area. So I think we can see slightly some uptick in trend.
What are the biggest challenges facing clinical trials at the moment?
Many years ago, one of the senior leaders in the industry told me, and his struggle was the clinical trials never get started. Once they get started, they never get to end. And have we changed in that situation? No. So the issue of the former scenario is that we can't get a consensus on a design and protocol. And there are so many of the other things going in along with it, but at the core is the design would be debated. And at the end, we still get a problematic trial going into implementation. So then the reason never get ended is because we can't get the right alignment between the patient and the design, and we get into trouble in the patient recruitment. Patient recruitment and design and clinical trials are the two evergreen kind of challenges facing us. I don't think we have made any material difference over the years. I'm sure you have your opinions as well. So, but it will be interesting for us to have some debate, not in this format, but later time.
Do you think that clinical trial success is improving, or it's about the same, or it's getting worse?
We cannot actually see any decisive move from the data we have. But interestingly, at the meantime, the COVID-19 definitely had a impact to the business. So the impact can be actually in two different ways. One is the positive aspect of the impact, where they forced us to looking at some of the technologies how can we utilize them to improve the efficiency of clinical trials. One, like the wearable of the devices, we can use remotely collecting data from patients. Another one is decentralized clinical trials, where we hopefully can using some of the technologies to avoid or minimize the need for patients to come to the clinic. And at the same time, we can collect the needed data to conduct clinical trials. And the negative aspect is that from our analysis, we're seeing a very significant uptick of the termination rate of the phase two. We don't completely understand what are the reasons caused it. And there is a possibility the quality may have been negatively impacted. But as you can imagine, if we are seeing the phase two increase in termination rate, those are the trials at the gray zones will somehow sneak through. And so we will be seeing a lasting impact later on in possibly increased phase three termination rate.
How does the use of data improve clinical trials?
Data can help us to improve the clinical trial in several different aspects. One, it can actually introduce a lot of objectivity. So, for example, there are lengthy, complicated debating on a variety of different designs of the trials. But if we can introduce data to look at the patients they are trying to treat, then looking at the design elements, those are the things discrepancy in between can be fairly quickly leading to more objective conclusion, resulting actually improved, not only faster, but also improved the design of the trial. It also, because of the introduced objectivity, will making the communication easier. The communication would be easier among the various of the stakeholders around the clinical trials, even between the regulatory authorities and the sponsors of the clinical trials. That communication can be also improved because of data as well. The often situation is that FDA, it's a quasi political and medical kind of body. They have their stakeholder needed to be taken care of. Oftentimes, they go into the special population to do certain trials. But if you're using data, you can decisively tell some of the trials just simply cannot be done. It will improve the communication. It will have objectivity in discussion. It can also result improve the efficiency as well, because the data do can help us identify quantitatively the opportunities for improvement.
How is artificial intelligence and machine learning impacting clinical trials, both the design and the execution of the clinical trials?
Very interesting topic. So there are a lot of hypes. There are also realities in this. So I personally believe artificial intelligence, big data, and other big data technology, not only they have bright future in clinical trial and clinical development, but those some of the things that are already happening in the FSI platform, the our investigator capability inside of that platform, it's already artificial intelligence based. So if you're looking around the world for any of reasonable, capable investigators, you will find a detailed profile in our profile file just by putting very simple their names. You will get the history of doing clinical trials, their performance in doing those clinical trials, their medical expertise in doing clinical trials, their past and current workload look like, and the way of the specific agents they have been worked with along the history of their engagement in clinical trials. So that it's already reality. And in the design of the clinical trials, we are making great progress. We're not necessarily can say the whole thing has been based on artificial intelligence, but we are firmly working towards that direction. What I meant is that by riding on that contextualized global 108 million patient data, we can construct digital patient profile, allow the sponsor to meet their patient digitally before even they started the clinical trial. That is the kind of advantage they can actually leverage to design a much better protocol to avoid those costly amendments down the road. So I'm looking forward to materialize more of those aspects in supporting our clients in the planning and implementation of clinical trials.
Because I guess a lot of the money that biotech companies spend goes into clinical trials, and they're not always successful. So I wonder, is there a way to kind of improve efficiency and also reduce costs?
Yes, I love this question, simply because it's very cost business in clinical development to begin with. And the magnitude is something we needed to take to be very careful about. So while we are talking about enrollment improvement, we were talking about shortening cycle time and et cetera, there is also a chunk of clinical trials. They actually should have never get started. There are clinical trials, fundamentally, we can use data to illustrate that their targeted patient population does not exist. It is in our practice, we have prevented several such clinical trials from getting started. Then there are other situations you may have actually defined the wrong outcome, and the whole philosophy of the treatment might be incorrect. And therefore, you will result in an approved, actually, medicine cannot sell. That is also the truth. So those are much larger magnitude of the issues can be actually supported by data analysis to minimize those type of exposure of risk in clinical development. And of course, and the evergreen of the challenging of getting better protocol and getting better sites or improving enrollment rate, those are the things that are still vitally important because those are the bread and butter of our business.
I guess associated with that, is there a way to make the timelines shorter? Of course, it will save money, but I guess the most important thing is getting new drugs to patients.
Yes, indeed. So the cycle time, let's just focus on the cycle time of conducting clinical trials. In doing that, there are several categories of the things we can do to shorten the cycle times. Oftentimes, if we wanted to get the best results, we need to have a concerted effort in doing that. One is to have a better design of the protocol. That better design of protocol can help us to avoid amendments. And each amendment, it's costing us several months and about $500,000. And so those are the things, if we are using the patient data to do a better design of the trial, those are the things can be avoided. There is a cycle time benefit from that. The other aspect is the site selection part of it. So the site selection, it's important. We have been making progress in selecting better sites. But on the other hand, the innovation, the medicine innovation also progressed. So the proximate way, we are now much, much more precise. So, earlier days, and I'm sure you remember those days, that lung cancer is a lung cancer. Then we're looking at the lung small cell lung cancer, small cell lung cancer. Then now, inside the lung small cell lung cancer alone, we are having over 20 different biomarkers. They are all different diseases. But in reality, we're still actually engaging the lung cancer doctor to do clinical trials, or sometimes they're not even lung cancer experts. They are just general cancer doctors. As you can imagine, the level of the precision in the site selection is not there. And hopefully, the AI in the data sciences we are working on. Hopefully, we do have a solution in that space.
Can data help with things like recruitment and diversity?
Diversity is, our analysis is showing that 48% of the clinical trials does not include a single Hispanic patient in it. And 43% of those clinical trials don't have a single African-American patient in it, and which is extremely problematic, which putting the question is that, is it ethical for us to prescribe those medicines to those populations? So the situation is dire. So that's why the FDA started taking steps to gain into this. The industry tend to treat a lot of things like in the fat. And this is an issue should not be taken as something fashionable and et cetera. It's a very serious business. So the way doing this one is not just artificially putting some sort of plan to the record to say, here, for you asking for a plan, we'll give you a plan. We need to have some material improvement in that space, which is actually possible with the data we already have. So give you the example is that we can looking at a particular disease, say stroke disease, right? So we can looking at as acute ischemic stroke patients. And then we start looking at the ethical compositions resulted from the historical clinical trials and their ethical composition, racial composition. And then we will be able to identify a batch of the sites are doing well in this diversification, and other ones are not very good. That contractive analysis will allow us to show what other specific things have been done by those achieved the better target, and which allow us to go to the specifically defined the hospitals and the doctors and to help us to improve the situation. So what is happening in the industry is that they are giving some inspirational kind of target. Say, we just want to reach 13% of the African-American patients in our clinical trials. But in reality, historically, the average is 3%. So you know that the 13% is not realistic. It's only inspirational. It's not helping anyone. We have to have much more objective ways to putting those incremental steps and taking a pragmatic approach to achieve those improvement realistically, not just by inspiration.
Talking about diversity in terms of race, but there's also age, there's gender. How do you go about filling those knowledge gaps that exist?
There is no easy way to fill those kind of gaps. We firmly believe the technical solutions are already there. For most of the things we're talking about, the technical solutions are already there. But the challenging is to changing people's thinking, changing people's mind. That's why that is the value of the conversation we are having now. It's so valuable, is that we needed to work in a concerted way to having all of the stakeholders to be educated, to be with all of those possibilities and with those also realistic solutions in it. Then we work together, including the pharmaceutical companies and biotechnology companies, the service providers like ourselves, like the patient advocacy groups, like the healthcare providers, doctors and hospitals, all of those stakeholders, regulatory authorities as well, to work together, make a concerted effort, then those gaps can materially be bridged.
Are there big differences between diseases, like some of the more rare diseases, do you have less data for those?
That's an interesting point. The simple answer is yes. The reality is the database FSI has been building, it's aiming for the totality of the data we have accumulated all over the decades, which inevitably they are going to be proportional to the human effort behind those diseases. But the beauty of the clinical data sciences, it's allow us to bridging from some of the known areas to the unknown areas. What I mean is that even for a trial we have not extensively studied, we have enough mathematical knowledge can be derived to project certain things. For example, years ago, we helped with a clinical trial on a novel treatment associated with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. At that point in time, there was no, the largest clinical trial done at that point is around like 5 sites. So they wanted to use like 200 sites, never been in that scale before. So, but the candidate they were working on is such a good candidate. So everyone is so excited that the senior management said to this team, how much money do you want? And I'll give you the money and you go ahead, do that trial in 11 months. We can looking at all of the aspect and to looking at the performance of the sites and looking at the enrollment rate. And we can use in those ones to projecting a much larger size of the trial, like 200 sites, then we conclusively told the team that you will not be able to finish this trial short of 30 months. And in reality, they got it somewhere around 31 months.
Are you overall optimistic that clinical trials can be improved and helped?
Absolutely, but it's not going to be easy.
All right. Can you kind of run me through how your company fits into the picture? I mean, do companies come to you and you help them design the clinical trials, or at what stage do you get involved?
Fascinating question. So we have our own ideal kind of situation, but we also have a things that like in reality we have to live with. So if you're looking at the FDA guidelines in this space, and what they are saying is that if you want to deploy artificial intelligence and you want to do those big data technologies, you needed to involve us early. You needed to involve us consistently, and you needed to involve us all the time on everything you do. In reality, is that we still got a lot of rescue the situations. They run into the trouble. But the good thing is that those are the rescue situations are also the opportunity for us to grow more patients. The most frequent feedback we are hearing them says that we wish you are here earlier.
Do the companies, obviously everyone's different, but do companies come to you and say, how can you help us with this clinical trial? I mean, are you able to shape things, or do they already have a very set idea of how they want to proceed?
We are, by and large, still working on the kind of individual clinical trials, even on some of the things we involve early on. Sometimes we get a cluster of clinical trials we help. But interestingly, just in the past, 6 months or so, we started getting requests from the companies for the packaged solutions, which they wanted to internalize some of the things we do. We can provide a technical platform for them. They can put in people around. Then we can actually use that platform and build it with the services from us to support them. That is not easy for them. It's not easy for us as well, simply because of the complexity of the clinical development business in itself. So you can't easily have just a press button kind of solutions. If someone have that one, I would question, is that real? But that does not means we cannot scale up this. We will firmly go into the space, having more of those functionalities being internalized by our clients, and so to allow more programs to benefit from our capabilities.
It's always good to get behind the scenes a little bit to discover how patients can be helped through the improvement of clinical trials, whether that's efficiency, saving time or saving money, or maybe a combination of all of them. Don't forget to check out the latest news and articles over at labiotech.eu, and I hope wherever in the world you are, you have a great week ahead. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time for another Beyond Biotech.